Our text tonight, I know, is one you've heard before, but I hope that there will be some things brought to your attention that will maybe reinforce principles from the past, or maybe look at some additional applications of this great text. It's found toward the end of Paul's letter to the churches of Galatia. It's in Galatians chapter 6, and our text will go from verse 7 to verse 10. Galatians chapter 6, beginning in verse 7 and going down to verse 10. Paul writes to them, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Now let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap, if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith." First thing that Paul reinforces here, that he teaches here, is that you reap what you sow. Now we might think, well, isn't that obvious? Not to everybody. There were some, and these were Christians in Galatia, in some of these churches, that didn't know that. And so he comes from the very beginning, he tells those Christians, don't question this law. It's a law of God. When God says it, it means it's true. It's valid. So he says, don't be deceived. This is the typical word used in the New Testament for false teachers who would, by their teaching, lead people astray. So this word has the idea of to lead astray, to wander, to stagger off, to be led off course, to go in the wrong direction. And of course, that's what all false teachers do, obviously, is to cause people to wander off in the wrong direction. So he tells them here, don't be deceived, don't be led astray, don't wander off in the wrong direction. This is a command. He's commanding them, don't be led astray. This is a very strong prohibition. And it appears that some of them at least had started to be led astray. So we could very well translate this verse, stop being deceived. See, some of them were already starting to be led astray. Whether it was by false teachers or whomever, they were starting to be led astray, to stagger off the right path. They were already being deceived, at least some of them. So he says, stop being misled. There's no reason for that. Don't be misled by whomever. So he's kind of rebuking them here at the beginning. He's rebuking them for a weakness that he knows exists, at least to some degree, in some of these Christians in the churches of Galatia. They were developing that idea. And so they weren't believing God's law of sowing and reaping. And it may have been because there were people who were teaching them, don't believe that law. Sometimes you reap what you sow, sometimes you don't. Don't worry about it. And apparently some of them were believing that because they were being led astray. So Paul's he comes out from the starting gate very firm, very strong in this prohibition about not being deceived. He says, because God is not mocked. Stop being deceived. Stop being misled. Don't ever think that God is not mocked. The word mocked means to turn up one's nose at. And I know you've been in situations where someone mocked something you said, and that's kind of what they did. They kind of turned their nose up at it. Like, surely you're not stupid enough to believe that. Have you ever talked with someone about something from the Bible and that was the response? You really believe that? They're kind of turning up their nose at what you... How could you believe that? God sent a flood and destroyed the whole earth. How ignorant and backward are you? See, that's the idea of mocking, showing contempt for what you believe. So he says, God is not mocked. So he says, don't treat God with contempt. Don't throw this in God's face. God is not someone to be trifled with. He's not someone to be played with. Don't ridicule God. So Paul, from the outset here, really wanting to drive home this point that the law of sowing and reaping is true, it's always true, and it's never contradicted. It is a law of God. So don't mock God. God said it was a law. God said it was real. God said it was valid. So don't mock him. And he's wanting them to understand that people that don't believe the law of sowing and reaping should not be people you associate with. Yes, you can try and teach them and you can try and correct them, but don't let them be your constant companions, because why? They can easily deceive you. They can easily lead you astray. They can easily get you off course. So he says, be careful. And then he gives it. Here's God's law: for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. Any seed here. Now, he's not specifying just one kind of seed. He says this doesn't apply to just one seed. Whatever a man sows. And I want to emphasize that here this evening. It's whatever. Whatever kind of seed you're going to sow, that's exactly the kind of seed you're going to reap, and that applies across the board. There simply aren't any exceptions to that. Of course, people who've planted gardens and worked on farms and so forth know that is a very valid law. You're going to reap what you sow. But Paul takes that idea and he applies it across the board. He says, it doesn't make any difference what kind of seed you sow. That's exactly what you are going to reap. You sow love, that's what you're going to reap. You're going to reap love. You sow patience, that's what you're going to reap. You sow kindness, that's what you're going to reap. You sow strife, that's what you're going to reap. Sow selfishness, that's what you're going to reap. Now, certainly it does apply to finances. There's no doubt about that. I mean, the Bible is very clear that this law applies to what we possess. Our money, our possessions, our wealth. It does apply to that. A very similar thought is found back in 1 Corinthians 6, 1 Corinthians 9, verse 11. Notice what Paul wrote to the church there. Paul says, if we have sown spiritual things for you, is it a great thing if we reap also material things? It's kind of a similar thought there. Sowing and reaping. Sowing and reaping. There's all kinds of seeds we can sow. But he says, I want to take this a little further. He says, I'm going to tell you that it applies to every sphere of your life. You're at work, whatever you sow there, you're going to reap. Your family and home life, whatever you sow, that's what you're going to reap. Everywhere you go, every sphere of your life, your friends, your acquaintances, what, if you have a hobby, whatever it is, there aren't any exceptions. You're going to reap what you sow, regardless of what it is. The tense here in Greek suggests that this is an ongoing process. In other words, whatever you continue to sow, and sow, and sow, and sow, then that's what you're going to reap and reap and reap. Both have the idea of some continuous action going on. So what is your pattern of sowing? What is it you typically sow, and what do you typically keep on sowing? Whatever it is, that's what you're going to keep on reaping over and over and over again. So we see this idea of a constant steady pattern of sowing. Paul says, look at your life and see what it is that you're sowing all the time. And if you're not reaping what you want to reap, there might be a reason for it. Because God has given us this principle of sowing and reaping. How much? If someone wants to have bushels and bushels and bushels of corn, they're not going to get that from planting one corn seed. So the level at which we want to reap must have something to do with the level at which we're going to sow. When Paul wrote another letter to the church at Corinth, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, he used this to emphasize this very thing about being generous. Notice what he says, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning in verse 6. He says, "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. As it's written, he's dispersed abroad, he's given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness." Generous sowing. If you want a bumper crop, you need to sow a bumper amount of seeds. Again, whether that, if you're sowing love, if you're sowing patience, if you're sowing kindness, if you're sowing strife, whatever it is you're sowing, if you sow a lot of it, that's what you're going to reap. Paul says that's the principle of sowing and reaping, and it applies to every area. Now he's even more particular. Now he says, "For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life." What does it mean to sow to the flesh? Sow to the fleshly indulgences? Sow to one's passions? Right before this in Galatians chapter 5, he talks about sowing to the flesh. In Galatians chapter 5, beginning in verse 15, Paul writes, in verse 16, "I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." And then verse 24, "And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." It says if you sow to those things, you're going to reap what? Corruption. You're going to reap rot. You're going to reap decay. That's the kind of fruit you're going to have. In the second letter that Peter wrote, in 2 Peter chapter 1, he says this in verse 4. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. Peter says, "By which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." The corruption that is in the world through lust. Now just think about the person that sows alcohol. What's he going to reap? He's not going to reap what you see on TV that he reaps. He's not going to reap youthful vitality and beautiful bodies. And that's not what he's going to reap. Now that's what the world says you're going to reap. God says just the opposite. You're not going to reap that. If you continue to sow alcohol, you're going to end up reaping liver disease. You're going to end up reaping poverty. You're going to end up reaping all these other things. If you sow drugs, you sow sexual immorality, on and on and on. You can see what you're going to reap. So Paul stresses here that whatever it is you sow, that's what you're going to reap. That is God's law, and there's no exceptions to it. That's what's going to happen. In Romans chapter 8, when Paul wrote to the church at Rome, beginning in verse 5, he tells them, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his." Sowing to the flesh. But he says, if you sow to the Spirit, you're going to reap everlasting life. Well, how do I sow to the Spirit? I sow the things of the Spirit. What are some of the things of the Spirit? Again, in this same letter that he wrote to the churches, he tells them those type of things in Galatians chapter 5. The prior chapter, beginning in verse 22, he says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law." Verse 25, "If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." Walking in the Spirit produces the fruit of the Spirit. Sowing to the Spirit reaps eternal life. We just read that in Romans chapter 8. So sowing to the Spirit, sowing to the things of the Spirit, that will reap us eternal life. You don't sow to the flesh and reap everlasting life. Paul says that contradicts the law of sowing and reaping. He tells them something else, though. He says, "Let us not grow weary while doing good." Don't get discouraged, he says, if the harvest doesn't come very quickly. You can't plant something one day and expect the next day to have a harvest. That's what he's telling them. Don't grow weary. Don't stop sowing just because you're not reaping as quickly as you want. James used that analogy in James chapter 5. Because he said in that letter, James chapter 5 verse 7, "Therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain." He tells them, you also be patient. You also be patient. Don't grow tired of sowing what is good. Don't give up. Don't give in. Don't faint from exhaustion. When Paul wrote his second letter to the church in Thessalonica, he told them in the third chapter the following. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 13, he says, "But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good." Don't grow weary. Don't faint. Maintain diligence. So be consistent in your sowing. Don't sow one day something for the Spirit and then wait 6 months to sow something again. There's a consistent pattern of sowing. It's not haphazard. It's not every once in a while. There needs to be a consistent pattern of sowing to the Spirit. So be consistent. Be faithful in doing good, in doing what's right. Use the opportunities that arise. That's what he wants us to know. So keep on doing good. He says if you keep on doing good, you're going to reap. Whenever due season is, he says that's when it's going to reap. That's when you're going to reap. So he says, don't lose heart. So whenever you have an opportunity to do good, do it. Doesn't have to be just for a Christian, as he says in verse 10. It can be for anyone. So if you have an opportunity to do good, then do it. That's sowing to the Spirit. Sowing to the flesh is just doing things for yourself. Following your own passions, your own desires, your own lust, and not thinking about anyone else. If you do that, you're going to reap corruption, decay, rot. But sowing to the Spirit, you're going to eventually, in due season, reap everlasting life. So it's the pattern of sowing. That's what we have to look at in our lives. What are we sowing? If you go back and you look at your life the past week, past month, past year, what have you been consistently sowing? Would it be to the Spirit or to the flesh? The world wants us, of course, to sow to the flesh. The world wants us to be just like them. But Paul says here, by inspiration, don't grow weary of doing good. Keep on sowing good, and you're going to reap good. Sow to the Spirit, you're going to reap everlasting life. It is a law, no exceptions, that's going to happen. Hopefully, these Christians and the churches of Galatia that were starting to be misled after Paul wrote them got back on track. They started to see that they were being misled. People were trying to get them off course. Paul says, stay on course. Be persistent. Be diligent. Don't get led astray. Keep on that right path, because eventually it's going to pay off. And those are words we can take to the bank. Tonight there may be something that is bothering you, that you really need the prayers of the church for. That you need to ask for the prayers. And if that's the case, then we want you to come and ask for those prayers. Or whatever the need might be, we want you to come as we stand and sing this song. Let's stand, please.
God is calling the prodigal.